this computer. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dad, You're Wrong. I'm your host, Cam, featuring my dad, my mom. Jaden's not feeling well, but he'll be back next week. But I just want to go over this episode. I just want to talk about the recap from both game 3 and 4. Did we ever talk about, we didn't talk about the first two games, right? Or no?
Not really.
No, we didn't. Because we just went over, Okay, got it. So we'll just do a recap of the whole NBA Finals, to be honest with you, at this point. I'll go ahead and start. It's a bloodbath out there, honestly. I really would like to add Draymond Green's trash talking does not help his case at all. I feel like, because I said this on my other podcast, like, he's a great, you know, I would want him on my team, you know, in terms of offense or defense and things of that nature, just facilitating. But he's really getting worked by Jaylen Brown. And he's been in, like, a lot of scuffles this series with Jaylen Brown. Draymond Green has made, or I think I saw a stat last night where he had less, he had more fouls than points. So, like, he had like 17 fouls and like 15 points, and he's made 0 3-point shots. And he, you know, in his press conference, like, he would keep talking. In my humble opinion, I feel like his trash talking has jinxed the Warriors, with all due respect. And it's not – now, granted, Steph did hit – Steph, we ain't really got to say nothing about him. He did what he did. Like, he showed up every game, you know what I mean? Klay really hasn't been consistent. I mean, he had one good game, and that was game 3, and they still lost. He dropped 25, and they still lost. Jordan Poole's a no-show. Andrew Wiggins' first good game was last night. So it's just like, what is Draymond doing? Nothing, in my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong, great facilitator, sets screens, high off the ball, you know, making, you know, open looks for Steph. But it's just like, if you're going to keep trash talking, you know, if you're going to keep saying, if you know, the 80s and 90s was the physical era, you were probably one that was getting hit. Yet, you over here trash talking Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's dropping 30 a night on you. So I feel like he's jinxed the Warriors in that regard. But it's still a long series to go. So at this point, it's the first of two wins.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think, yeah, everything you said is true, the trash and all of that. But at the end of the day, we're tied now 2-2. So, Curry obviously stepped up last night. Once again, I think Boston had a chance to really take control of the series. They didn't. Golden State is a team where you have them on the ropes. You want to take them out. And Boston failed to do that at home. So now it's the best 2 out of 3. Two of the games which are in San Francisco. If you're Golden State, you're really, I think you're happy based upon the fact, obviously, you dodged a major bullet from game 3 when Steph got hurt. In that game, he came back, had a monster night last night. Klay, really, and Poole, they've really been no-shows in this series. And if you're Golden State, you have to be feeling pretty good about yourself, because I think sooner or later, Klay is going to have a breakout game. Draymond does what he does with the assumption that Klay is going to get his, Curry's going to get his, Poole's going to get his, Wiggins is going to get his. So it's much more magnified if one of or two of those four guys don't, you know, do or perform as they are accustomed to performing, or we as fans are accustomed to seeing. So if you're Golden State, hey, it's 2-2. I'm going back home, game 5, best 2 out of 3 now. I have predicted Golden State in 6. I think obviously this game five is pivotal because the winner obviously goes up 3-2, and you just need one more win to close it out. So I still like Golden State in this series, only because when you're a team like Golden State and you have them on the ropes, as I said earlier, like Boston had, and you didn't get it done, you're kind of like, ugh, we had our chance. Uh-oh. And I think Klay is going to come out. He's a shooter. Obviously, he hadn't been shooting well. But as a shooter, you just keep shooting. Sooner or later, his shots are going to fall.
Yeah, and I actually
– I believe his breakout is coming.
I actually believed his breakout was game three, with all due respect. I'll tell you why. I genuinely think so. Because it's like when playing in the finals, I've been watching the finals long enough to know that playing in the finals is a lot different than playing in a second round series, right? You know how Jordan Poole was having, a spectacular season, the first round opener against the Nuggets. And then against the who do they play? The Grizzlies, right? First three games. But like in the Mavericks series, he didn't really do that much. Honestly, he really didn't. Like Steph Curry was getting his. Klay was showing up in a few of those games. Andrew Wiggins was having a couple of games, but it wasn't Jordan Poole. So in terms of Klay showing up sooner than later, the answer is sooner. Like he showed up game three. He didn't show up. He had like 10 points last night, 10, 13 points last night. And a lot of people compared, and I was on Twitter, like they were comparing Stephen Curry's, you know, carry of the Warriors like LeBron. And I'm like, it's nothing like LeBron. It's absolutely.
I disagree. I think Curry is carrying. He has put that team on his back.
No, I don't think. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you're wrong, Dad. First and foremost, when you look at the 2018 playoff series with LeBron, right? When you look at this playoff series with the Warriors and Steph Curry, LeBron didn't really have a second star, you know, like Curry, or second or third option like Curry does, right? Okay. Because Curry's leading the postseason on the Warriors with 27.6 points per game. The second leading scorer on that team is Klay Thompson with, I want to say like 19. Then it's Andrew Wiggins. Then it's Jordan Poole. Then after that, it's Draymond. On 2018 with LeBron, he was averaging 30 plus. And then the second leading scorer was in like fifth, at 15, 16, you know, like, or not even that, but less than 15, because there wasn't a second star. When you have LeBron and you're LeBron James, you're the fourth seed, right? Cavaliers, you're playing the Pacers in the first round. You go seven games. You beat them in seven games. We're not even gonna talk about Toronto. We know what happened. They got swept, right? Then you play the very team that's in the finals right now, Boston Celtics, and you beat them, you know, in seven games in their on their home court. Moral of the lesson is, yeah, Curry is willing them in terms of showing up when it matters the most. Even when you have second or third options, LeBron didn't have a second or third option. That's why he was the leading scorer every single game that they won and even lost. Because who was their second leading scorer when LeBron was on it? Kevin Love, and he was averaging like, what, 14, 13? You know, he wasn't the Kevin Love that was there when Kyrie was there, because when Kyrie was there, Kev was averaging like at least 19, 20. Kyrie was averaging 24, right? So when you put all that into perspective, I think it's important to realize, like, Steph Curry has help. I think that Klay Thompson and they haven't showed up. It's not – you got to give credit to Boston's defense in that regard. You got to give credit to the Jaylen Browns. You got to give credit to the Marcus Smart. You got to give credit to the Jason Tatums and the Derek Whites, you know, of the world. Because – and Grant Williams of the world. Robert Williams – the list goes on and on and on, because they getting up all up in Klay. They may not get – don't get me wrong. Steph Curry off the ball, dangerous. Even without the ball, dangerous. And you have to be that good of a player, you know – To not only have a dangerous offensive game, but to have a defensive game when it comes to being on offense without the ball, if that makes sense. Right, and they getting up all up in Klay. And it's not even the fact that Klay is going to have a breakout, because I genuinely think his breakout game was in game three and they still lost. But at the same time, you got to give credit to Boston's defense. Coach Udoka has implemented, like, Marcus Smart. He's not a defensive player of the year for no reason. Derek White, Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, JT, Jaylen Brown, things of that nature. In my opinion, it just goes back to the, you know, the carrying. Don't get me wrong. Yes, Steph has been the leading scorer. He has carried. He has been a huge part of the offensive load, but not like LeBron was. And well, in that regard,
I understand. But in this series, yes, true enough, the defense of Boston has obviously been quite effective. But they're waking up this morning to get on a plane to go to San Francisco tied 2-2. Okay? So that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, they are tied 2-2.
Right.
And they had Golden State on the ropes. I really believe last night, had Boston won that game to go up 3-1, this series was, in effect, over.
I don't think so.
But they didn't.
They didn't. Nah, you're right.
And Golden State's going to mess around and win it. Yeah, Udoka's defense. I think Udoka is a Popovich disciple. Yeah. And I get it. But you got to get credit where credit's due. Curry hurt, right? Because there's a difference between playing hurt and being injured. Curry's hurt. He's hurt. And he had a monster game last night. So if you get even minimal contribution, when I say minimal for the standards of a Klay Thompson, and even if Jordan Poole, which this is his first finals, we get it. But I think Boston, you're kind of kicking yourself, man. We had them on the ropes, man, and we didn't get it done.
I know that. And at the same time, don't get me wrong. I agree with that. I agree. But at the same time, not all hope is lost for Boston.
Not at all.
We've seen these teams, you know, in past finals, you know, win a home game, win an away game, and then come back, you know, they're up 2-1 and they have opportunity to go up 3-1, but they don't. But then they mess around and they win the finals, you know. But I think it's important. Like Dallas Mavericks 2011, they are a perfect example, right? They won that game 2 off of Dirk's left hand layup, right? And then they won that game. They won game 3. Miami tied it up at 4, right? And then they came back and won the next 2 games.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so for me, when you think about that, like, not all hope is lost for Boston. I think Boston's in a great position. If you ask me, I think the Warriors are – let me ask you this question. Who's under the most pressure? Now that the series has come back from a 4, best 4 out of 7, to a best 2 out of 3, who is the most under pressure right now, Boston or Golden State?
I would lean toward Boston under the most pressure.
Okay.
Only because if you go down 3-2 in a series, that means the loser of game 5 has got to win 2 straight.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, both teams have proven, because they won on each other's home court. You know, is home court really a big deal?
Not in this series, to be honest with you.
But don't get me wrong. If it gets to a game 7, I would much rather be on my home court. I would. Yeah.
No, I hear you. So
if Boston, let's say Boston wins game 5, they're going back home with a chance to close it out. So I think that the question of who's under the most pressure is going to be somewhat fluid. I think today it's Boston. If Golden State wins game 5, the pressure will be on Boston for sure. If Boston wins game 5, the pressure goes back to Golden State because if Boston wins game 5, then they're going home with a chance to close it out in 6. So this pressure question, the answer to that I think is somewhat fluid.
It's fluid. Today,
Boston, after what they play game five on Monday night?
Monday night.
Monday night, after that game, depending on who wins, the answer, who's under the most pressure? It may very well be Golden State.
Listen, I'm not denying any of that. Even the you know, the part where you said it's fluid. Now don't get me wrong. I agree, but here's where you're wrong in this regard. With all due respect, the Warriors are not under the most pressure, and I'll tell you why. Two out of the next three games, mm-hmm. you're on your home court.
Yes.
Need I remind you what happened the last time Golden State went to a game 7 in the NBA Finals? What happened?
Okay, they lost.
They lost. Yeah, and I agree with your point when you talked about home court not really being a factor, because Boston has proven anybody can win on Golden State's home floor, especially Boston. Can do it. However, Golden State, back home, one thing I love to do is win a championship when I'm away, not when I'm at home. Don't get me wrong. I love to win it at home in front of the fans and everything out of nature. But if I'm Stephen Curry, hats off to the Celtics. I love to be a party pooper at the Garden. If Golden State wins this game, if Golden State wins game 5, which they should, not saying that they will, but they should. We can never underestimate Boston like that. They're not Memphis. But should Golden State win this game, all the pressure goes to them. Now, like going back to your fluid comment, yes, it's fluid. You're Boston. You're going back home. You have to win. You're under pressure because if you don't win, you're going to lose the entire thing. Golden State wins, period. But if you're Golden State and you not only lose game 5 and you lose game 6, I'm not going to lie. You failed to capitalize. I'm not saying that if Golden State were to win the next two games and they go back home for a game 7, I'm not saying that they won't win, because I believe that they will. Something is telling me that in the event it goes to a game 7, Golden State will eventually win, right? However, if I'm Golden State, I don't want to go back to my arena in the game 7, because Boston has proven they can win under mm-hmm. high pressure. Here's the ironic thing. When throughout the playoffs, in elimination games, especially in the Milwaukee series and the Miami series, game 6, Jason Tatum showed up, dropped 46.
He did.
Miami, game 7, a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Yep. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum showed up. They weren't even at home. So you wrap all that up, like I said, I feel like I am proving your point. Like, It goes back to the fluid comment. Like, it's fluid. Whoever's under the most pressure. But if I had to choose, especially given that I'm in a great position, a much better position than the Celtics, it would have to be Golden State. Only because the next two home games, next two out of three games are at home.
Right.
And if it goes to a game, we've seen what happened in a game 7 when they lost to the Cavs. Don't get me wrong.
But here's the thing. In this playoffs, let's be honest, it wouldn't surprise me in these last three games of the finals, the road team wins each one. Boston could very well win Monday night. Go back to Boston. Golden State wins on their court. Game 7 at home. You know, Boston comes in and wins. I mean, you've been watching this entire playoffs. The road teams have played very well.
Oh, yeah. You know, absolutely.
It's not an automatic. I get it. But if you ask me, you ask any player, hey, you got a game 7. Would you rather be at home or on the road? We want to be at home. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think it's going to be – I think this series so far has played out to pretty much the expectation of most fans. It's a close series. Each team has won a road game. The guys, your stars, Tatum, you know, Jaylen Brown, you have Curry. They've all stepped up, you know. So, yeah. I think if you're the NBA, you're liking this. This is what it's all about.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. And here's
– They want to go – they wanted to go 7.
Mm-hmm. I said Boston in 7, in my opinion. You said Golden State in 6?
I did.
I'm not going to lie to you. if both teams win, if they were, if Golden State wins the championship this year, if Boston wins the championship this year, they will change both conferences for years to come. And I'll tell you why. When you look at Boston, right? Boston, mm-hmm. if Boston wins this championship, it'll change the East because Milwaukee won a championship. You have, I'm not going to sleep on these other teams like Miami. Now, don't get me wrong. They got some improvement to do. They can't get it done when it matters the most. Can't, but you still got Miami. You still have, much to my dismay, you still have Brooklyn, right? You still have Brooklyn. You still have Philly. Even though Philly, they need that other piece. I don't know. James Harden is not that guy anymore, respectfully. Now, is he?
What he's looking, the way he's looking now, he's not.
Yeah, the way he's looking now, he's not that guy. However, it'll change the East, meaning that there'll be more and more contenders. It's not like the West how it was years ago when they had Kevin Durant and like the Golden State Warriors are that clear cut favorite. You know, this is what I like about basketball. I'm gonna be real. I hated seeing the Warriors play. I really did because I knew they were gonna win. And I'm just like, man, I really want to now except the Houston Rockets. I love seeing the Houston Rockets play. Had Chris Paul not gotten injured, like we talked about last week, he would have won a ring in Houston. Anyway, but yeah. But if Golden State wins a championship, it will change the West because you still have these up-and-coming teams. You still have Dallas.
Hell, I mean, you're saying. Will it change the power in the East? No, I think it's just
– it will.
You have good teams. The balance of power typically – is one conference is much stronger than the other conference. But the way that the NBA and these, to your point, these up-and-coming teams are playing now, the balance of power is on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, you got Boston in the finals, could possibly win it. Milwaukee, right? You had an up-and-coming, Boston, Milwaukee in the East. You had Philadelphia. They got a couple of pieces. I think Philly still got some things to work out.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, some things to work out with Kyrie and all of that. And you go to the West, obviously you have up-and-coming Memphis team, Dallas. I think Utah is going to be done with the fact
they're done.
With the fact that Quinn Snyder has resigned. And I think Donovan Mitchell had signed his extension with the expectation that Quinn Snyder was going to be there.
Yeah.
Now that Snyder's gone, who do you get to replace him? And whoever that guy is, will Donovan Mitchell be happy? If not, he's going to be a distraction. He's going to want out. So Utah's in a state of – personally, I would almost look to trade Gobert and Mitchell and see what I can get, what kind of assets I can get for them. Yeah. No one talks about Minnesota. No one talks about New Orleans.
But see, here's the thing with Minnesota, though. Every time I watch Patrick Beverley on ESPN and how he disrespected Chris Paul and the Suns like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And watching all these NBA players on their podcast like Draymond Green, Danny Green, so many greens nowadays. But watching him, you know, just talk about Chris Paul on the Sunday, he made it seem like the Minnesota Timberwolves was that team for real. There are two things I like to point out. Need I remind you, the Minnesota Timberwolves were playing the song "We Are the Champions" after winning a play-in game. Number two, Minnesota Timberwolves had not one, but two 20-plus point leads against the Memphis Grizzlies in that first-round series, and they blew it.
Yeah.
And Patrick Beverley really wasn't that much of a factor like he thinks he was. Now, don't get me wrong. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Kawhi fan and a Clippers fan, especially when Patrick Beverley was on there and how I was defending his name. But now I'm starting to see what other people were talking about in terms of Patrick Beverley camp. Patrick Beverley he really don't do that much. Now, don't get me wrong. Would I love to have him on my team? Yes, I would. Defense? Absolutely. But let's make no mistake about it. Minnesota, they still got a long way to go. But they're in my opinion, they're not that lethal like everybody expects them to be. Now, New Orleans, on the other hand, they were giving the Suns a run for their money. I will admit to that. They were giving the Suns a run for their money. Let's be honest. They had Zion, they go to game seven, respectfully. They go to game seven.
Well, I mean, once again, we are seeing just how one, even for the top teams, how difficult it is to win. It is very difficult to win in the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, college football, college basketball, any sport for that matter. It is hard to win. And obviously, most of us were picking Phoenix to go to the finals. Everybody had Phoenix going to the finals. Well, we see how difficult it is. They got past New Orleans in that series, but to a man, anybody on that Phoenix roster and coaching staff is going to tell you, dang, man, that was hard.
Yeah.
You look at Boston now in the finals.
It's hard now.
It's hard. They had to beat Milwaukee, right?
They swept Brooklyn.
They swept Brooklyn, but it was still, it's
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, man.
It's still, there's KD and Kyrie are as formidable a duo as there is in the league. Yeah. So you got to get through them, then Milwaukee, then Miami. That was hard. That was very hard. So, to your point, I think if you're the NBA, when I say the NBA, Adam Silver and group, this is what you love. I think as a fan, I love it. I love to see the parity. I love to see of a 32 team league, you could easily have half of them could easily come out and win the whole thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I believe that wholeheartedly.
You have your upper tier team. But even in, if you look at let's say the eight teams from each conference that made the playoffs, you could almost push the argument to a degree for any team to make a run. Even Atlanta, okay, they were the eighth seed. They ended up having to play Miami. But granted, things would have had to really come together for Atlanta to beat Miami. Atlanta really wasn't going to beat Miami. But
nah.
But we know that based upon last year, Atlanta was as formidable as anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
And once again, bad breaks, that's part of the game. Trey doesn't slip on, twist his ankle on the referee's foot. You could argue they might beat Milwaukee.
They might beat Phoenix, for that matter.
And I'm telling you, this is just my opinion. They get to the finals against Phoenix, I think they have more than a fighter's chance to win it.
To beat Phoenix, in my opinion.
Exactly. They would have needed to, still win in Phoenix. But I think they hold home court in Atlanta because at that time, last year, Atlanta was pretty much automatic at home.
At home, so, yeah.
You get them to steal one in Phoenix, the way Trae Young and that group was rolling like it was, Atlanta could have messed around and really won the whole thing last year.
Oh, no
one's going to take that.
Absolutely.
I say all that to say this, going next year, there are teams out there that make great strides in 2021, 22,
mm-hmm.
but going now into 22, 23, you look at a Chicago team, you look at, Charlotte's got a new coach now and Atlanta's making some changes. I think it's just great for the league as opposed to having two clear-cut favorites. Everybody else go away. It's just us.
Man, yeah.
You're the top seed, man. That playoffs is hard as Phoenix.
Oh, as no, Phoenix. Absolutely.
Everybody else, guess what? They're sitting home watching the finals like you and me.
Absolutely. No, I hear you. I think when you look at all these teams, there's really no two clear-cut favorites, right? I think from a business standpoint, that's really good because the more tenacity and excitement the playoff brings money. It brings more viewers.
Yeah,
it brings more money to the NBA viewership, TV deals. things of that nature. You see Amazon, they just cut a deal with Thursday Night Football, and now they're broadcasting games, you know, on Amazon Prime. So I'm like, oh, you never know. NBA, like I said, NBA probably going to broadcast on Disney.
Yeah.
You never know.
The money is out there, and the programs and the networks that currently have these deals, if the money's only going to increase.
Yeah.
And the league is going to get richer. The players are going to get richer. You know, you look at the fans, you know, what effect is that going to have on the fans? You know, because it's going to become, to a degree, a competition as far as, okay, you know, our fan experience is this. Your fan experience is that. Mine is better than yours. And then, obviously, for the fan experience, you got to bring in the players. And to bring in the players, it's just the way it is. The economics of the game. You got to bring – and these owners, you know, you're seeing now some of these owners, they were kind of conservative at first. But now you got guys – I mean, I always say Atlanta. I look at Atlanta and how Tony Ressler has now decided to take the gloves off and say, hey, look, we need to go over the luxury tax, pay the luxury tax, we'll pay it. So, you know, whereas before, luxury tax is like, no, you know, but now it's the luxury tax, man. We'll pay it. If it's going to be in a championship, we'll pay it. It's worth
it. Hold on. We're going to say that for the next episode, because we're going to talk about the billionaires turned athletes and things of that nature, how LeBron and the athletes turned billionaires, right? LeBron, MJ, Tiger Woods just recently turned into a billionaire a few days ago. So we'll say that. We'll talk about the economics of the game in a minute. But this was a great conversation. So just a quick question, because we have 1 minute left. Who do you have still coming out of the finals? Is it still Warriors in six?
I'm still going to stick by my prediction. Golden State in six. They'll find a way to get it done on the home court. Then they go back to Boston and close it out.
Awesome. Mom, what was your point that you wanted to – you? I said you could.
Yeah, so I read something that said – it was talking about the importance of game three. And so if you win in game three – and it's already, you know, 1-1, the chances of the game three winner is about 82. The chances of the game three winner taking the finals is like 82%. So I thought that was interesting. But so my question was going to be, what do you guys think about that? But I've kind of heard, you know, throughout the conversation, which ways you're still going, because your dad is still holding to his prediction. My prediction was Celtics, Boston, I think in six. I think I said six, but also reading that Steph's game last night is considered iconic. Like, even though he's had really great games in the finals, like, I mean, he always, you know, he's had great games, but like the game four was really iconic. And the fact that Boston had an opportunity to take it, I don't know. I mean, I'm still going to hold to Boston taking the finals, but I just thought that was an interesting stat. And so now we've kind of gone through the conversation, and I've heard where you still are on it. So
yeah,
it doesn't sound like your predictions have changed. So.
I'm not gonna lie, I low-key think my prediction has changed just a little bit. I do have Boston in six. They'll win game five, and they'll go back to the Garden and close it out. So
okay,
yeah.
You were Golden State at first.
No, I was actually Boston. I was Boston in seven, but now I turned into Boston in six, because, you know, like I said, I don't think, and if Boston does go back for a game seven, I think they come out on win. Moral of the lesson is I have Boston still winning it all.
Okay.
You heard me correctly, Dad. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But that's the end of our episode. Stick around for the next episode. We're going to be talking about athletes turn billionaires. Will there ever be another one? And yeah, we'll see where that goes. So peace out, love, and can't wait to see y'all again.